Hey, sports fans, it's world champion Andy Gepper, Mike North. Punch this number in your phone right now. If you're driving, pull over. 1-800-808-3419. 1-800-808-3419 for a free pick and info for the premier handicapping site in the country, VegasScoresAndOdds.com. It's the only site you'll ever need with expert handicappers like John Anthony, Denny Macklin, Tony Sacco, Ray Monahan, yours truly, and many more. Check out the homepage of VegasScoresAndOdds.com for a tote board with your buddy. Follow Vegas Scores and Odds on Twitter and dial up 1-800-808-3419. That's 1-800-808-3419. 1-800-808-3419. Or go to VegasScoresAndOdds.com.
What follows is for news and entertainment purposes only. Any use of the forthcoming information in violation of any federal, state, or local law is prohibited.
Mike North, you are on fire.
You know anybody else that good?
No.
No, they'll tell you they are. They may think they are, but we're documented every single week. The eye is on us.
That's
and I
right.
ain't talking about the eye of CBS, the public eye. The first feeling I got when I won a bet was elation. The worst feeling was when I lost a bet and I wanted to jump off a balcony.
Give me a quick betting tip.
Yeah, do win and don't lose, but usually it doesn't always work out that way. How many times you heard this? I'm going to Vegas. I go, how'd you do? Well, if I lost $4,000, but you know, you go there to have fun. No, you go there to win. And that's what's wrong with people. They have the negative mentality in anything they do, including sports, before you even laid the bet down. So you got to be positive. Vegas Scores and Odds is the landing place that gave me an opportunity to handicap. They let me show what I could do. And there's packages, there's free picks. What does Vegas Scores and Odds do when you perform? They reward you and they take care of you, and that's why we're ready to do this show.
The Vegas Scores and Odds Advantage with Mike North starts right now. That's right, Vegas Scores and Odds Advantage with Mike North starts right now. I am Aldo Gandia, Mike's wingman. It is Monday, Victory Monday for the Chicago Bears. Mike North and I are going to dissect yesterday's win over the Detroit Lions and see if this could possibly be a boost for a playoff spot run. Packers got back on track with a win, so the division championship is looking more elusive, but perhaps a wild card spot is in the picture, and beating the LA Rams next week will be important to get there. We'll talk about the Rams' loss yesterday. The Vikings had an impressive win over the Cowboys. Mike will give us his thoughts on that, and we'll get Mike's thoughts on just about anything he wants to talk about. That's the way this show rolls. Let's bring him in now. Mike North, how are you, my friend?
Oh, one of the more famous introductions in the whole business, ladies and gentlemen. My pal Aldo Gandia. It's good to be with you, Aldo. We're under siege right now. We're under snow. I mean, I was watching the WGN news. Skilling wasn't even there yet. I mean, you know what? When the general's not there yet, you still feel uneasy. But, yeah, you know, a plane slid off the runway at O'Hare. I don't know how you have planes landing if you can't keep the runways clean. So we're glad those people are all right. But as I'm talking to people right now, there's 3-4 hour delays. But one thing that isn't a delay is that we keep picking games and at Vegas Scores and Odds. After picking Alabama and losing on Saturday, I win yesterday with Cleveland and the Jets. So don't tell me the game of gambling isn't a goofy game. You take one of the top teams in all of football, Alabama, and crap the bed. Then you take that system, that same system, and then you have to take the Jets and the Browns, and you end up winning. So it's a crazy business, and at Vegas Scores and Odds, free picks at 1-866-504-2201. Denny Macklin, well, I've passed Denny now in the NFL. He's been on fire for a couple weeks. He's still doing well, but I'm 6-2 my last 7 days. You know what? He's doing great the last 30 days on a 19-3 streak. I'm 22-15. But hockey right now, I'm number one at 9-3. So you know what? Things are going great. Make sure you check out our great sponsor, Vegas Scores and Odds, and follow at Vegas Scores and Odds at VSAO Sports. It's great the Bears got a win yesterday. I went 3-1 at Vegas Scores and Odds. So, you know what? 1-2 on the Barroom, which makes me 16-14. Getting a little close for comfort. I'm off Coastal Carolina. Believe me when I tell you this. I picked them last week on our show on last Wednesday, and I go, this game looks good. I think they lost by about 130. Other than that, it's great. It's great to be with you. I'm expecting big numbers on the show today. I mean, they're a captive audience. Where can anybody go?
That's right. Already comments in the chat room, and this one from Stacy. She says, hey, Mike North, happy Veterans Day. And Mike, thank you for your service to our country. And I echo Stacy's thought there. Happy Veterans Day to you.
The greatest thing that ever happened to me, and at the time, I'll never forget this, I was riding my bike. And my buddy drives up on his bike. I guess rides up on his bike would be the right phrase. And he goes, hey, what was your lottery number? I go, what was yours? He goes, 220. What was yours? I go, 45. 6 months later, I was off my bike and in uniform at Fort Polk, Louisiana. That's how fast it was. That's when there was a draft. Orders were frozen shortly after I got in to the Army to go to Vietnam, although our orders were already being issued for anybody that was in basic training at that time, that 75% of you would go to Vietnam. But Richard Nixon's the guy that put the freeze on. That's why he'll always be held in high esteem for me, because it's my contention. If I had gone, I was an MP, and MPs worked in the stockades down there, or you led convoys. And you know what? I'm just so fortunate I didn't have to go, but a lot of guys did, and they bought it. And you know what? I think about it all the time, how lucky I was. I ended up being stateside and at Fort Riley, Kansas, Fort Polk, Louisiana, Fort Gordon, Georgia, where I took my MP training. And it was a remarkable experience. And you know what? But at the time, you know, you're crapping in your pants wondering, you know, if you're going to end up going into war.
Right.
But luckily that didn't happen.
Yeah, it was a unpopular war then, and history has told us that, you know, it remains unpopular, but everyone that wore the uniform wasn't considered heroes at the time because of the protests and so forth, but now history has taught us that they are indeed heroes, and you, my friend, are a hero for...
And some of the people that protested, a lot of the people that protested us, look, I ended up in a college town. I lived across the street from Kansas State University, and I worked in the stockade at Fort Riley, Kansas. I ended up being, you know, climbing up the ladder a little bit, and you know what, I'll tell you what, when we went into town, I mean, a lot of the kids liked us, but there was a huge amount that couldn't stand us. And at that time, you know, the hair was all long on all the kids. We had crew cuts. So it was sort of like two different cultures in a college town. Very interesting.
Little Nikki is in the chat room.
I love Little Nikki. And by the way, I love all the veterans. It's not about me, but it's about the 18 million veterans who have served in this country's history.
And that's what Little Nikki says, that all the veterans are heroes. And so
that's right.
This is your day. So let's talk a little Chicago Bears football, because the Bears, a winner, although it was quite ugly at times. Your overall thoughts to begin with before we get into the details of the game.
Well, I'm glad we won, number one. We caught a tremendous break. I don't think I've seen a jump in a line like that in a long time. And I said this yesterday on Twitter. You don't know how huge missing Matthew Stafford was. For anybody arguing the point that Matthew Stafford wouldn't have done better, didn't see the line jump from 2.5 to 6.5. That's how important he is. Now, I made the point that if Chase Daniel, let's say Trubisky, was called out of the game, the line would have stayed the same, 2.5. Maybe 3, because the second-string quarterback is not deemed, you know, as a low rider as a Detroit Lion quarterback was. I mean, there's a difference between being a backup for a franchise quarterback and Matt Stafford, and there's a different type of situation backing up a project like Mitch Trubisky. But that being said, we can't worry about it. Hey, we lost to New Orleans when their second-string quarterback came in.
Right.
Does it make me feel good that Detroit stayed in the game the whole time? No. That's why I said after the Oakland game, they're not going to make the playoffs. I'm not going to change now because we've won one game in the last month. I said they opened Club Dub yesterday, which, you know what, if they want to have fun like that, go ahead. I never felt like dancing on any team if we had an under 500 record. But it's like my church gym, I said. They said we're going to be open one Sunday a month. So that's what Club Dub is when they win.
Mike, the NFL is looking into how the Detroit Lions handled the reporting of Stafford's injury leading up to Sunday's game. And they had him designated as questionable before they ruled him out. And the fact of the matter is that they were aware that he has some broken bones in his back. And so a lot of, this is going to, the NFL might come down on the Lions for inappropriately listing him as questionable. What does that do to a professional gambler like you when a team, and I'm just saying, allegedly misplaces a player on the injury list as questionable when it truly is doubtful or out?
Oh, it's if you're a smart gambler, let's say you put in the Bears -2.5 on last Tuesday.
Right.
Or let's say you put in the Bears -2.5 after you heard the very first person last week that say he might not play, Aldo. On our Wednesday show, Aldo says, hey, we just got, people go, how do you get a memory like this? I don't know. I can't remember what happened yesterday, but I can remember Aldo at approximately like 3:30 telling me, oh, this just came up on the wire. Matthew Stafford might be out for Sunday's game.
Right.
And I said, wow, if that's the case, that's going to be crazy. But then we didn't hear anything else. We didn't hear he was going to be out on Thursday. We didn't hear he was going to be out on Friday. We didn't hear he's going to be out on Saturday. Now, if I would have put in a bet at Bears -2.5 Wednesday, okay,
mm-hmm.
and yesterday took the Lions at +6.5, I win both sides.
Right.
They screw Vegas. If the score is 33 to 29, you take the 2.5 off the Bears score for one win, and you add the 6 on the 29 for the other win.
Right.
It's called middling. And that's where the NFL has a problem, because to announce it at that late time yesterday and for him to be walking around the sidelines like nothing's wrong with him is very fishy.
Yeah, that is fishy. And then there was somebody on our Twitter feed, and I'm encouraging everyone to go to Vegas Scores and Odds Twitter handle. It is VSAO Sports. Follow them on Twitter and follow Mike at North2North, the number 2, and then follow the Barroom at Bears Barroom. Someone on our Twitter feed said, oh, Vegas knew all week long that Stafford was going to be out. I didn't respond to that because I thought that was ludicrous, right?
It's a foolish tweet. It's a foolish tweet because if Vegas knew all along, the line would have been changed, okay? They would have never done this because they put themselves in a bad spot.
Right.
Sorry.
Right.
Whoever said that has no idea about the gambling business. They're just trying to be a hot take there. And, you know, who doesn't want to be a hot take, but don't be foolish. And there's a reason that the NFL's looking at that.
Yep.
Now, if that guy's got information that somebody told him Stafford was going to meet on Tuesday,
right,
come out with it. Otherwise, you know, don't be a wise guy because, you know what? The wise guys don't like the game that was played yesterday.
If you're listening to this, whoever you were, and I forgot your name, come forward and identify yourself. All right, let's talk a little bit about Mitch Trubisky. And he was asked yesterday after the game if this game, his performance yesterday, 3 touchdown passes, was a confidence builder for him.
I think winning always does. I think playing well, playing a little bit better, and kind of fixing those mistakes that we've been making, and then just finding ways to get in the end zone on offense, and then coming up with the W is always big. So it feels good. We just got to build off of it and keep getting better.
Mike, where's your confidence level in Mitch Trubisky right now?
It's up and down. The reason is his consistency. And you know what? Don't forget, he threw 3 touchdown passes, but really in the first half, they were garbage again. So we've played one good half of football, over the last, what, three, four games.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty tough to have your confidence supremely high. I believe, because the line even admits it, for anybody that thinks the Bears would have beat Detroit yesterday with Stafford, has not watched Matt Stafford this year. That being said,
I'm with you.
San Diego did hold Detroit to 13 points the second game of the season. And they also beat Green Bay, though. So maybe, the Chargers have the number of the NFC North. But outside of that game, they were scoring in the 30s every game. And I've seen nothing. Even yesterday, you had this guy Driscoll, who was a Cincinnati reject. If you're a Bengal reject, really, you just go, where's the best cliff that I could jump from? Because I was rejected by a team that is that hasn't won a game. But if you're a reject, he played good football for a guy that was a mop bucket, to be honest with you. He moved the ball in the Chicago Bears defense. I think that's a major concern right now.
Yeah, I'm with you there. I predicted a Bears win, and this was before the news of Matt Stafford, and I would have been totally wrong if Stafford.
But then again, you predict the Bears win every week, so that doesn't matter.
That's pretty close to being true.
You're Captain Kangaroo basically showing up to work every day at CBS, Bob Keeshan, and go, where's Buddy Rabbit?
That's right. That's right.
No, but I understand. Hey, doesn't matter. You picked them. And you know what? Yesterday, a lot of people probably jumped on to 6.5 with Detroit anyway, and they lost the game. And you know what? It just was. Look, it's a win. We'll take it. But I'm not fooled.
Yeah, I'm with you there. And you mentioned, you talked about Trubisky's performance. One of the prettier plays that he had all day and definitely all season was the touchdown pass to Ben Broniker, the tight end who looks like he's going to take the place of Adam Shaheen, who is going to be listed as one of Ryan Pace's biggest draft busts. This was Broniker after the game talking about his first touchdown in the NFL. He's been with the Bears for four seasons, most of it kind of on a practice squad the first 2 years. And finally, he realized his dream of scoring his first touchdown. I thought this was fun. Listen to this.
I've scored touchdowns before, so I thought it was going to be like that, only a couple notches higher. It was at just such an amazing rush that just like heightened all my senses to the point where I didn't even know what was going on.
He said he totally kind of blacked out right after the diving touchdown catch. Great to see a young guy who has worked so hard over 4 years to get to realize his dream and catch a touchdown pass, and he has to come through because now we've learned that Trey Burton has a calf injury who could be considered another huge bust for Ryan Pace. The acquisition of Trey Burton is just not working out. And so this kid, Ben Broniker, has to come through and play high-quality football for the Bears to continue to win, right?
Well, this is my point. You can't say a team's going to the playoffs or going to the Super Bowl when your first two tight ends are NFL unworthy. And that's what it's turned out to be.
Yeah.
For Trey Burton, it's turned out to be that way for Shaheen. Broniker, I understand. Maybe he'll be good, but he's been on the practice squad for 4 years, which, by the way, means nothing because Kwiatkowski, the Polish stealth, should be on the field more for the Chicago Bears.
Yeah.
But, you know, he doesn't get to play a whole lot either for some strange reason, especially when you hear the coach say, well, he plays like that every day. Well, if he plays like that every day, somebody's got to take a seat. Somebody's got to take a seat. I don't want to hear he plays like that every day in practice and everything else, and then you see him every so often, you know? He's the hot-looking girl that only stops at the bar that you go to once a week. You want to see him every day, so you got to go down the street. Are you kidding me? You got to. It's unbelievable when I hear stuff come out of the coach's mouth, and then you go, if he's that damn good, and if players praise him, even in practice, then yes, I'm not saying you got to start him, but I brought out something yesterday. This kid, just to give you an example, the disaster we now call Khalil Mack, okay, which last year was the greatest deal ever invented in football. I compared it to the Brock deal with the Cubs. He makes $146 million in a six-year deal. And you know what? He got it good for him, and last year he came through. The Polish stealth makes $2.9 million for 4 years on a $500,000 signing bonus. Now, who's getting better bang for the buck right now? The Bears are with Kwiatkowski. Hopefully the other kid can turn around.
Well, and Matt Nagy at today's press conference, today being Monday, November 11th, was asked about losing Akeem Hicks and Danny Trevathan, two of their more vocal leaders on the defense. This is what he said.
You know, there are two of the more vocal guys on that side of the ball. So when you lose a guy like Danny in the middle, that leadership part you lose a little bit, but then you have Quick come in and do such a great job. I mean, he was all over the field yesterday, and that was really neat to see.
It was indeed really neat to see, and he is going to be, because they're talking about injury reserve. Danny Trevathan's season is probably over, definitely over, I think, after seeing the replay.
Well, I said last week, look, and I was a little unfair to Danny because I know what you meant, too. He's been a good pickup, but I said you can't depend on him. He's out for the year.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the bottom line. I know the game. I just watched him. He didn't look healthy last week. You know, we don't hear about a lot of these injuries. Not like the Stafford thing. We should have heard about that. But a lot of linebackers and other people. I'm not saying he was hurt before, but when you're in your eighth, ninth game of the season, you know that something's hurting. So
yeah.
I wish him nothing but the best, but we got an able replacement, it looks like, right now. Not to say that he can't be victimized on certain plays that Trevathan was better at, but I do know this. He knows where the ball is. He's got a nose for the football. He's around the ball. And I don't want to hear a head coach say neat anymore when talking about a player.
Well, somebody
it was neat.
Somebody, yeah, really.
It was really neat. Last time I said that, I got my first kiss from CeCe Crook in seventh grade. That was neat.
Yeah, it's not quite a football term, is it?
No.
You
know what? So far, I mean, you know what? Basically, as an offensive guy, he's not quite an offensive coordinator right now either. Until yesterday, they did come out of the shadows, and we saw if you unloosen the reins a little bit and quit being afraid and worried about your record, which he is, keeping it close to the vest. But you know what I found out about the Bears? They're front runners. When they're winning, their defense gets better. When they're winning, their offense gets better. When they're losing, they're finished.
Yeah, they're incapable of coming from behind. So they've got to get out to fast starts. The defense did not have a great day yesterday when you consider they're playing the backup quarterback who didn't even have training camp with the Lions. They picked them up just before the season started. And so it was, to me, a very disappointing first half.
Yep.
But got to give them credit. The defense did hold them to a couple of field goals, and then that drive late in to end the first half kind of galvanized the team, and they got going. This is what Matt Nagy said about Trubisky today, and whether, you know, his performance yesterday is a springboard to success.
When everybody does what they're supposed to do, you know, it's good, because you see when 11 guys do their job, and then he's able to be better at his job. And I think that's what you take away from it. It's just, if one guy just messes up just a little bit, then sometimes it goes back to the quarterback.
What he's trying to say there, Mike, is that there are mistakes being done by the other 10 guys on the field that is hurting his development, and so that Trubisky gets the lion's share of the blame, but a lot of times it's a receiver running an incorrect route or somebody missing a block or this or that. What do you say about that?
I saw him throw some bad passes in the first half.
Mm-hmm.
All 10 guys did their jobs. He overthrew guys. He lowballed some guys. There were drop passes. Taylor Gabriel was horrible. Horrible in the first half. But also last week, for instance, everybody did their job. And he threw that high pass to Montgomery. Now, that's not the offensive line's fault. That's not even Montgomery's fault. That ball should have been a little bit lower. He should have caught it. It was a 50-50 ball. That should have been 100% lower throw. He tends to throw high. That being said, I'd be careful blaming everybody. The quarterback is the leader. You know what? Who do they blame for the Battle of Little Bighorn, for the ambushing of Custer? Who's to blame? Is it the bugler or is it Custer? Let's just get to the point right now. All of a sudden, Trubisky plays the most important position in sports. and he's not going to be to blame now, and it may be the fault of 10 other guys. We understand the offensive line has breakdowns. We understand the tight end hasn't performed. I get all that. We understand that you made a change at running back. We understand. See, so everybody pitches in, but at the end of the day, if anybody's trying to tell me over the last 4 or 5 weeks that it's been more the other 10 guys than Trubisky, you're going to have me head scratching because I've watched them this year and it hasn't been the same.
Everybody in the chat room is agreeing with what you're saying. You know, Chicago Dave is saying, Matt Nagy, quit it. Stop talking like that.
Right.
Stacy is saying that he's still coddling Trubisky and on and on. And that's the thing. You look at a guy like Deshaun Watson, who is playing for most of his career. He's played behind the worst offensive line in pro football. Yet you can clearly see...
And been hurt.
Right?
And played hurt.
Right. You can clearly see the difference between these two quarterbacks. One has confidence and one doesn't.
You know, that's a great call by you because I didn't even think of that, Aldo. I mean, Deshaun Watson has had no offensive line. His receivers outside of Hopkins are pedestrian. I would say this, Allen Robinson probably be a second best receiver on that team. That is utter and crazy nonsense. You know, Allen Robinson, thank God for him. As you know, last year I went back and forth with the bar room, but you know, on the acquisition of him, but he's been a tremendous pickup. And you know what? Thank God for a couple guys that have stood up, because if they hadn't, Mitch would have looked worse over the past 3-4 weeks. We're not blaming Mitch for everything. Nagy's the guy that keeps bringing him up. Remember when I said last week we also praise Mitch too, but he never hears it? It's nonsense like Nagy just said. It really is.
It really, really is. Mitchell Trubisky has to make up for the errors around him, because he's the guy holding the ball 99.9% of the time. The center holds it, you know, for that brief second when he hikes it. He is the guy that can make the players around him better. And right now, it's the other way around. The players have to make Mitch Trubisky better by making circus catches of his missed throws, about holding blocks.
He almost killed 2 or 3 receivers yesterday. even the announcer said he should have never thrown that ball. He should have seen that safety was lining up to kill his receiver.
That is so true.
So this is stuff, you know what, we're not blaming Mitch for everything, but when you play the most important position in sports, to say that it's the other 10 guys, you know, I mean, look, at everybody plays a role. You brought up Akeem Hicks. I'm going to give everybody why Akeem Hicks is so valuable, because not only does he plug up the holes and keep the bodies off his linebackers, but if you watch the Golden State Warriors over the last 4 or 5 years, mm-hmm. he was the Bears' Draymond Green. Not the best player. Not the most dominant player. You know, not the player, but he was the most vocal, the most talkative. He's the Draymond Green of those championship teams of Golden State. The only problem is the Bears don't have a Curry. They don't have a Thompson. They don't have a Durant yet. But, man, Akeem Hicks has won my respect 100-fold, because since he's been out, it's been nothing but tough sledding. And that includes yesterday's game.
Yeah, I'm with you there. You know, what worries me most about this Chicago Bears team, and there's a lot to worry about, is the fact that we are seeing Ryan Pace's high draft picks fail over and over and over again. His first number one draft pick, Kevin White, a bust. Mitchell Trubisky, number one draft pick that they traded up from 3 to 2 to get him, and he appears to be a bust. The jury's still out, but he appears to be a bust. Adam Shaheen.
Compared to the other quarterbacks taken behind him, he's a bust.
Exactly. Adam Shaheen, a second-round draft pick, a bust. The list goes on and on, and so these player acquisition moves and free agency, too, Trey Burton and so forth, these guys are just not working out. And then now...
The running back Davis. Bust.
Yeah. That's right. They released the kid. They paid him more than they would have paid Jordan Howard, and they release him. Isn't that just? Oh my gosh! I feel
You brought up the best point yesterday, because what happened was something happened. I don't know who else they talked to unless they listened to the Vegas Scores and Odds Advantage. because nobody else in the world said the Bears missed Jordan Howard except me. All of a sudden, I'm hearing the CBS crew all say they miss him. Here's what they miss. It's nothing against Montgomery. And Eldo brought it up first. Number one, and for anybody that still thinks this was a good deal, that means you didn't think Howard was all that and you're trying to support your argument. But Eldo laid it out. It's not about what Sims or Cowher, and I get a kick out of people on the chat boards and everything else saying, you know, Howard was this and Howard was that. Bill Cowher doesn't know what he's talking about. If there's one guy in sports that does football on TV that knows what he's talking about over anybody, over the other knuckleheads, they're on those shows, it's Bill Cowher. What they miss is his toughness, his attitude, sort of like an Akeem Hicks thing, moving the chains and blocking. And here's what they said. They said Mitch, Phil Simms said this, Mitch misses Jordan Howard. I go, well, how does he know? Let me tell you something, folks. These guys get inside information. You've already heard Aldo tell everybody for a month that Tariq Cohen, even in training camp, said he misses Mitch Trubisky. It's my contention that Phil Simms got inside information from somebody that's talked to Mitch Trubisky over the season that says he misses Jordan Howard. For him to just make a statement like that. And once again, I'm not blaming Montgomery.
Right.
But you laid it out perfectly yesterday. It was a necessary move because it loses the Bears money.
Mm-hmm.
It gave up a draft pick that we could have picked somebody else with.
Right.
And Jordan Howard's only 24 years old.
Yep.
Period.
And I'd like to add that there is no – Matt Nagy doesn't have a commitment to the run game. I'll give you an example.
No.
Jordan Howard's best year through nine games – his best year was 2017 with the Bears.
Right.
Through nine games, he had 177 carries. David Montgomery through nine games in his rookie year, 112. That's 65 fewer carries. So how can you establish the toughness that those CBS commentators are talking about if you don't show toughness by running the ball? It's just ridiculous.
I agree with you, and here's another thing. We have already established this, you and I. We were the first to say this. Tariq Cohen's done without Jordan Howard in the backfield.
Yep.
Done. I have seen nothing that would... Does he look like he should be on this football team, regardless of how cute and fast and clubbed up and the way... I mean, seriously, he's a good special teams player now, but last year and the year before, he was a great player on the field on regular downs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, I think the whole Tariq Cohen thing on offense is that defenses have kind of figured out what he can do, and he's just – he's also – because he's so undersized, he runs out of bounds so often, and he doesn't want to take those hits like he first did with the Bears. I think it's starting to wear and tear on his body.
How about they're so pressured to make him succeed that you're winning a game, a close game, and you're throwing double reverses? How about that?
Mm.
And you're putting him. You want to show the world a gimmick play.
Exactly.
In a game that you need a win. Come on. Come on, man. Enough of trying to make your guys shine. It's not working out. But let's just get the win and hope we can do it next week. But let's quit trying to shove players who aren't getting the job done down people's throats. Go with the guys that are getting the job done.
In the chat room, Merv says that he too was upset when they traded Jordan Howard, and all he can think of was when they got rid of Greg Olsen and Thomas Jones all those years.
Well, they've done
back.
This before. Thomas Jones was ridiculous.
Yeah.
That's what I don't even talk about. Thomas Jones, I loved Thomas Jones. He was a guy I loved. And then when they got Cedric Benson, when you have Thomas Jones, all of a sudden I heard, just like with Jordan Howard, he's not that important. And Cedric Benson was a bust. One of the worst draft picks of all time and an unnecessary pick when you had Thomas Jones, period. And you could, I was there. I covered the Bears. Nonsense. It was the dumbest, another dumb thing, and the Olsen thing's a tragedy. It's a tragedy, the Greg Olsen deal. We don't have a tight end. That guy could have been our tight end all this time.
Oh, my God. I posted on Twitter last night that he has now caught over 700 passes About 190 of those were with the Bears. Could you imagine if he would have stayed with the Chicago Bears all these years? He would have had numbers exceeding Mike Ditka's receiving numbers, and Mike Ditka caught a lot of passes with the Chicago Bears. He would have been maybe the greatest tight end in Chicago Bears history, but unfortunately, they draft the guy, and then 2 years later, they hire an offensive coordinator who doesn't like pass catching tight ends. Why are you doing that? That doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, that was March, and March took over the whole deal. I don't want him. So they go, okay. Instead of the general manager saying, make him work. Make it work. They just get rid of this guy. They give him to Carolina. Look, player personnel has been a disaster with the Bears. I don't care if you're talking about Olsen. I don't talk if you're about acquiring Cutler. I don't care if you're talking about picking up a draft pick like David Montgomery and getting rid of a stud like Jordan Howard. I mean, you know what? It's just to me, and you're right, fewer carries, but the bottom line is this. I didn't think that they'd be able, and Jordan Howard carried the ball 510 times in 2 years. That will never happen with David Montgomery, ever, whether it's because he's inexperienced, whether it's because Nagy doesn't want to play him, give the ball to him, whether the offensive line is good or bad. I mean, I saw where yesterday he has a couple nine-yard runs, and everybody goes, see? Then I saw the next two runs where he had minus 1 yard. I mean, we're just guessing, and whenever he shows some good news, it gives everybody hope. But what we're seeing is a coach get rid of players that were producers on the field. And the Bear offense only got rid of one guy last year. And they were 12-4. The one guy got rid of is Jordan Howard. So if people want to think that he didn't matter at all, that's fine. They got rid of one player. It was him, and Philadelphia's doing better, and the Bears aren't.
Merv in the chat room says he lives in North Carolina, and he says, believe me, they love Greg Olsen over there, and he has to hear it all the time.
Great guy. Charity guy. He fit the Bear. I mean, everything that you want in a guy.
Yep.
Great guy, gentleman, fights for breast cancer, wears pink even when it's not fashionable to wear pink in honor of his mother.
That's right.
And then they get rid of the guy.
Unbelievable. Chicago Dave says that the Bears and the Bulls, that they are the same person. That is so true. He says Gar Pax is an upside-down version of Phillips and McCaskey.
You know what? I got to be honest with you.
That's a good one.
It's a disaster in Chicago. You have the Blackhawks who are, they win every so often. You have the Bulls who are just completely garbage and misrun. The same thing goes with the Chicago Bears. You got the White Sox who are going to be rebuilding till 2040. And you got the Cubs with Grandpa Rossi. Other than that, we're ready to win.
Yeah. Well, and let me make this quick comment about the Blackhawks, because at the beginning of this decade, we won 3 championships in 6 years, and still, Jonathan Toews, Patrick Kane, and some of the other young guys were still young, and we were thinking, well, they got another Stanley Cup or two, or maybe even 3 the rest of the decade. What happens? Dale Talon is released right at the beginning of that championship run. They give the administrative duties to Scotty Bowman Jr., or whatever his name is, and all of a sudden, they can't acquire a team around these superstars to win more championships. And in fact, they're having a hard time getting into the playoffs. They've been out of the playoffs the last 2 years. A total abomination.
They blamed Quenneville. The winningest coach in NHL history. They get rid of him. They bring in some choir boy who doesn't know his left from his right. Okay? And he's fired by a baseball man who, John McDonough's a great guy. A loyal guy, don't get me wrong.
Yes, he is.
But this was stupid. The whole thing was misguided. And the Bulls are a disaster. I said it. The fan base is desensitized. I mean, there's Bulls podcasts out there, and I encourage anybody to podcast.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're unrealistic, when, you know, somebody has a great game and you go, this is the turning point, and, you know, it's the Bulls. You got to know what you're covering.
Yeah.
And for anybody to have a Bulls podcast, if you're going to have one, don't pretend you're selling the 94 Bulls, folks. It's not. This is a disaster. And Jerry Reinsdorf, I used to say in the 80s and 90s, he's one of the best owners Chicago or the world's ever had. This guy is Mike Brown now.
Chicago Dave in the chat room has a great one here. He says that the Bears always invest in the chick who's attractive but high drama and no manners, but will get rid of the chick who should be the wife. Reminds me of my 20s. Shake my head. Grew up like that. It's a waste.
Yeah. You know, I mean, basically, it's like me getting rid of BB and dating the lead of a female motorcycle gang.
Pam Anderson and barbed wire.
Right. Well, you know what? A short date. But that's beside the point. What an actress she is, isn't she?
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, yeah. Elizabeth Taylor. Yeah. Joan Crawford. Deborah Carr. Anne Hathaway.
That's unbelievable.
And
Mike, I got to ask you one more Bears question before we talk about...
I'm here for you. Throw it.
Yes, that's right. We ain't going anywhere. Eddie Pinheiro, are you worried?
Oh.
Are you worried about the Spanish kicker who now can't hit an extra point? What's going on?
Well, even the kicking derby was childish and was infantile. And that was the first sign that things weren't going to go right. You run a National Football League team... You do it with a certain sort of professionalism.
Mm-hmm.
This kicking derby that they had was nonsensical. Pinheiro did win it, but you know what? We still don't have a kicker. We still don't have a kicker. And you know what? It's one of those deals where Robbie Gould's gone. We talked about Janikowski last week. By the way, it was great to hear that Sebastian Janikowski from the Bears announcers or the guys that were doing the game leads the NFL all-time in 50-yarders with 58. Sort of warmed the cockles of my heart yesterday as I heard that one. I knew all the guys at the Bear Room's eyebrows went up. Now there's Mike again. I bet you he jotted that run down. And you were right. I did jot that down. But seriously... you know what? You look at it, and Pinero's something that you got to worry about.
Yeah.
I mean, you brought up Paul Ettinger last week. Somewhat of the same type of kicker. Doesn't have a strong leg.
Right.
Has to worry about his accuracy. But that's something they're going to have to address. I don't think he comes back next year unless he gets on a roll.
Let me ask you this. Would... Given what happened in preseason when you brought in a dozen kickers and so forth, and
right.
you had this big parade of kicking competition, do you bring somebody in now to put the pressure on Pinheiro, or do you say, well, we already did that. If we do that, the media is going to go crazy. Let's
Never
just stick
happen.
With the kid.
You know why?
Right.
Because they're not even the same year. He's not the main problem this year. The kicker was the main problem last year.
Right.
The kicker is like the 15th problem on this team.
Okay.
From coaching to play calling to personnel to the GM to, you know, free agent pickups to players playing out of position to players not getting on the field like Kwiatkowski that should have more playing time and others. So, you know what? I mean, they finally put Wims on the field after Gabriel dropped two passes, you know, and you've been calling for that.
Yeah.
It seems like you get many chances if you're a starter on the Bears team to screw up, but if you're a reserve and you make one mistake, you're gone.
That just should not be. And those guys, Matt Nagy and those guys at Ryan Pace told us that wouldn't be the case with this Chicago Bears team under their leadership, but they are lying to us over and over again. They trot out guys who are just not getting the job done. But finally, at least Adam Shaheen was deactivated for the game, and so hopefully...
He should have been cut. What are they waiting for? Is there a certain time you do it or what?
No.
You can cut a guy anytime you want.
Yeah.
You got to send a message to this team. Don't you?
Well, do you think they sent a message with the release of Mike Davis?
No. I think they sent a message to themselves saying we screwed up. You know?
Yeah.
And they cut their, but they gave him the money.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
See, with Shaheen.
Right.
I mean, Davis, it's not about, we're talking about Montgomery. Did Davis really get a chance to perform?
You're absolutely right. He did not. Right.
Shaheen's been given opportunities. He's starting ahead of Burton. And Burton, I told you last week, a groin, a calf, he's a head case. Get rid of the guy.
Right. This goes back to Matt Nagy saying, hey, I would like for my running back, I don't want Jordan Howard. I want a guy like Mike Davis, and then I would like a running back from college like a David Montgomery. And then Ryan Pace saying, okay, I got you both of those guys. And nine of them are getting the job done.
No, and you already got running backs. But here's my thing. Why is it I'm watching the Pittsburgh quarterback? Nobody ever heard of him.
Mason Rudolph.
He looks great. I watch even this kid Driscoll from Detroit. He looks as good as Trubisky's looked over the past 3-4 weeks. Now, yesterday, Trubisky did outplay him. Where are these reserve corps? Teddy Bridgewater. We're trying to get one quarterback to play good. I see teams that are on their third quarterback playing good.
Right. Right.
Ridiculous.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Let's talk about the Green Bay Packers because love them or hate them, and I certainly hate them. I think Mike North, I can speak for Mike North, he hates them too. I
respect them, but I hate them.
I'm with you 100%. They are now 8-2, and they come back and win after a very disappointing loss at Los Angeles last week against the Chargers, where they were 26-11. And the players after the game were applauding what Aaron Rodgers did early in the week when he talked to the players and told them, guys, we have got to get back to where we were as a team. And he was asked about that in the post-game press conference. This is what he said.
Yeah, the energy was just off last week. I think as a whole, we weren't playing with a lot of confidence and or energy. So, I challenged the guys this week to get back to enjoying each other's company and having fun and the contagious energy that's been a staple of our team 9 weeks through the season.
Sounds like a veteran quarterback who, in an understated way, got his team back together again. They go out to Lambeau Field and win an impressive game against a Panthers team. And then kudos to that defense, too. The Packers defense, they pressured the Carolina Panthers quarterback 17 times, forcing him into error after error. It was an impressive win, and now the Packers go into their bye week. They can heal themselves, and they can get ready for those winter games out in Lambeau. Things are looking good for Green Bay, unfortunately.
Well, you know what? I'll also say this, and I don't care what anybody says. I'm not just whistling Dixie here because I watch all the games. I had a great day yesterday going 3-1. My only loss was the Rams. My winner was the Browns, the Jets, and under Indy. But I watch all the games. Nobody gets more calls than the Packers at home. Nobody. Not New England. Nobody else. You could say New England gets tons of calls. They get the calls. There were 3-4 huge calls in that game, and yet Carolina stayed with them. But that's not enough. When you are facing Aaron Rodgers after a loss, you're in big trouble. And you know what? That's what a quarterback's supposed to do. Instead of somebody getting up and go, but it's not the quarterback, it's you 10 guys, okay? That's why we're not winning. Think about what you just heard from Rodgers, and think about what Nagy said. Nagy absolves the quarterback of problems. Rodgers, he has taken the blame before, but I've been critical of him when he throws his team under the bus. You notice he challenged them, and this is what makes me mad about him. Did he challenge himself? I'm sure he did since he gave the speech. But once again, it sounds like, hey, it was you guys, and Rodgers has been accused of that in the past. That being said, I don't give a damn what he said to him before the game. He won the game. That's what he's been doing. And they're going to win the division, and that has screwed the pooch with the Bears. Seriously, them getting off to the start. Because I couldn't believe when people were saying they're going to win 12 games. I believe now maybe that they might happen.
Yeah. Yeah, I can't disagree with anything that you said there. And making things more difficult for the Chicago Bears to get into the playoffs was the fact that the Minnesota Vikings go to Dallas and they win 28-24. They are now 5-1 since the Bears beat them at Soldier Field back in week 4. So they have bounced back. They've got a beautifully balanced offense now with this kid Dalvin Cook running the ball with power and speed, and their passing game is still good despite the fact that Adam Thielen didn't even play yesterday. So who do they go to? They go to Kyle Rudolph, who catches 2 touchdown passes and a 2-point conversion. The Vikings looked really good against the Cowboys yesterday, huh?
Yeah, and Kirk Cousins, everybody get off his back. He went on the road now. He won a big game, but the Dallas Cowboys had a chance to win that game on 3rd and 6 late in the game. Cousins misses a wide-open pass, and if Dallas comes back and scores and they end up winning that game, he's being tagged for another type of late-game meltdown. But they got that monkey off their back. He's been playing good football. People better start getting off his back, because that's the most complete team, I think, in the NFC right now, North, that the Minnesota Vikings. But you got a quarterback that is less dependable than the quarterback that plays in Wisconsin named Aaron Rodgers.
Wow, the most complete team in the NFC North. And you know what? It's hard to argue with that, because they do have, on all three phases, they are very solid. Now, this Packers...
And they got a better head coach, I think, too. I think if the head coach of Green Bay loses Rodgers tomorrow, they got some problems.
Yes.
The head coach of Minnesota, Zimmer's done a great job.
Yep.
He really has.
Boy, the chat room is on fire, and the guy that's getting burned is Ryan Pace of the Chicago Bears, the general manager. Chicago Dave just listed a bunch of things that Pace has
I love Chicago Dave. By the way,
awesome.
Here's one for everybody. I mean, look, Ryan Pace has made his mistakes. I think the most telling thing to me, and I said it last week, and I thought, well, I think a lot of things I say are clever, but... I'm just kidding. But Kevin White lasted longer as a Bear than Jordan Howard.
Well, I'm sorry, what was
that? That should tell you all you want to know. Kevin White lasted longer as a Bear
That's right.
by not producing than Jordan Howard did by being one of the top three best producing backs in the NFC over the last 3-4 years.
How does that happen, Mike?
My God, I can't stomach it. And you know what? The Bear fans on this site are starting, not that, we are a Bear-friendly site, but people are seeing it with their own eyes.
Oh, yeah.
It's just taking some longer to realize it. That, you know what? This has happened before. Look, the 2016 Cubs, you brought up the Hawks. They were supposed to, I thought they'd win 5 in 10 years. I thought the Cubs were going to the World Series this year. They're only going to go once. The 85 Bears, only once. The Bulls in the 90s. I mean, think about this. Think about the people that run the teams in this town that have all these resources, the second biggest market, and you can't put a winner together. It's all about the money.
It really is. If you're a Chicago sports fan, man, you are one brave person to deal with, you know, the Blackhawks, the
you know
White
what the
Sox.
Problem with the teams here is? And I think that's the way it is with most of them. There used to be companies that owned teams.
Right.
You know, but the problem with the teams here is the teams that are here are owned by people that the last time they had sex, they were in a covered fucking wagon. Okay?
Oh,
I mean, think about it. You got the last time, I think basically I saw Reinsdorf walking down the street in a scene from Lonesome Dove. I mean, he's that old. Think about it. Virginia McCaskey, 96. Jerry White Reinsdorf, 84, 85, I don't know. Rocky Woods. I mean, think about all the ancient people. The Ricketts are the only kids in town.
Well, and then they brought us a World Series, so you got
the
a point.
The last time these owners had sex, Lincoln was handing them a piece of paper going, what do you think of my speech?
Oh, my goodness.
Come on.
Wow.
Where's the Mark Cubans? Where are the Tom Ricketts?
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, you know, the good news is Michael Reinsdorf's young. No, that's bad news. That's carrying on a tradition of ineptness.
Mm. Do you think that the Chicago Bears, the McCaskey, you got me now. Do you think the Chicago you think the Chicago Bears McCaskey family, they should start considering selling the franchise?
Here's what I'd like to see them do. I was watching The Grapes of Wrath the other night. Get in an old truck, load up your furniture, and get lost. My God.
100 years has been enough, huh?
By the way, I'm watching, of course, the TV's silent. On this Veterans Day?
Yes.
What kind of career do you think Ralph Bellamy had? I'm watching a 1941 movie.
The great Ralph Bellamy, yes.
Dive Bomber with Errol Flynn, Fred McMurray, and Ralph Bellamy.
Wow.
Okay?
That's a cast.
Okay. Uh-huh. 1941. In 1986, Ralph Bellamy starred with Eddie Murphy in Trading Places, but he didn't have a good run now, did he? My God.
That is
a
great
my run. God. Errol Flynn and Eddie Murphy in the same life.
How about that? How about that? That is unbelievable indeed. Hey, speaking of a great run, Lamar Jackson.
Yeah, don't worry about it. I'm doing good.
Lamar
Jackson. Oh, you're talking about somebody else. Sorry.
Yes. Okay, Lamar Jackson, the quarterback from the Baltimore Ravens, had a run yesterday for the ages. This was the TV play-by-play call. Thanks to CBS for this.
It's a second down and three. Jackson takes it himself. Look at him turn back and forth. Oh, he broke his ankles. Now he's got an entourage, and he's got a touchdown. He is Houdini. What a play. 47-yard touchdown run by the magical quarterback, Lamar Jackson.
Pretty cool call by Chris Myers of CBS Sports. How about that?
Was that not that wasn't Myers. That was too good.
Yeah.
That's gotta
be Harlan. That's what I thought, too. You know what? You might be right. Maybe it is
Harlan. That's Harlan. Chris Myers, you kidding me? He's on borrowed time. But he's the guy, he keeps hanging around. He's the guy that gets coffee for the bosses. Let me tell you about Lamar Jackson. They all buried him. I didn't say a word until today. Because the millennials in this country who work at sports stations, who are producers and everything else, don't do their homework.
Mm-hmm.
When it was there, I don't know what I'm saying. I'm just walking around here, you know. I got one sock on. I got my underwear over my head because it's been, you know, I'm just happy to be here. Anywhere. No, I don't. I'm just kidding. I'm going to tell you something. Here's what I heard this morning. He's one of a kind. Boys, unbelievable. Did you see that guy? Nobody's ever done it. And then Coach Harbaugh goes, you've changed the game completely. You're going to change it. People 20 years from now will wear your jersey. That's what they probably told Gale Sayers.
Yeah.
He lasted 6 years. That's what they probably told RG3.
Absolutely.
That's what they probably told Cam Newton.
Yep.
That's what they've told Patrick Mahomes, who's been injured already.
Yep.
Let me tell everybody this. I've been around the block. If he runs like that every week for the next 5 years, he will not last. Period. End of story. That being said, he's a lot of fun. But also, he's not the first. The pioneer was Randall Cunningham. Go to North to North. It's on the front, my front page. Scroll down about 4, 5, or 6 spots and play a video by NFL Films on Randall Cunningham when he was on the Philadelphia Eagles.
Mm-hmm.
There's no difference. There's none. Jackson's faster, but Cunningham in 1985, you were told not to run.
Yep.
Ever. And all he did was run when they told him not to. They said he wouldn't last. So he opened the door. He was the pioneer. Now, this kid may be the modern-day Randall Cunningham, but Randall Cunningham gained 1,100 yards on the ground in the 80s.
Yeah, that is true.
And he was great. And I'll give you another one. Some guys said, what about Bobby Douglas? Not the same type of player. Cunningham was an athlete. He was slim and everything else, and he was a better passer than Jackson. And as good a runner, and also, by the way, has a 91-yard punt to his credit. Could also punt the football. So the nonsense that Lamar Jackson might take it to another level, because if Randall Cunningham came on the scene today and they told him, play your game any way you want, he'd do the same thing this kid's doing, because I saw him do it 30 years ago.
Oh, man. You are so right about that. You are absolutely right.
How did anybody just say this guy's the first of his kind when Randall Cunningham... You know, he played on the Vikings when he was considered done.
Yes.
They never highlight some of them.
Yes.
He played great for the Vikings when he played for them.
He did. He was a very special football player. I encourage everybody to take a look at that highlight reel.
But Lamar Jackson gets phenomenal as far as he runs with the football. But anybody, I heard Golic saying 10 years from now, who will be the better quarterback, Mahomes or Jackson? Jackson won't last 10 years.
I think
Golic might have played with Cunningham, if I'm not mistaken, in those Philadelphia games. And you know what? Golic must have been in those team meetings.
Yeah, I think you're right. How quickly did they forget?
How do you just say all day he's one of a kind when you played with Randall Cunningham, I believe, at Philadelphia?
Yeah, I can double check that.
Because because it's the latest flavor. That's why.
That's right.
And there's some goof like me that will come out and tell them 30 years ago there was a guy like this. 34 years ago, his name was Randall Cunningham. And all you have to do, folks, is go to Twitter, just go to YouTube yourselves and play Randall Cunningham highlights. Just put them on and watch, and then tell me this guy's the first of his kind. It's a joke.
You
think I'm a little too boisterous?
No, I don't think so. Everybody in the chat room is saying Mike is on fire again.
Well, it just pisses me off that nobody does their homework.
Yeah.
You've got some 30-year-old producer who thinks Randall Cunningham is the guy that started Happy Days. No, that's Richie Cunningham, okay? Give me a break, man. Give me a break. Watch Randall Cunningham run with the football. Throw the football. Improvise. Break tackles. Punt the football. And then, Lamar Jackson's the first of his kind. Nonsense.
You are on fire, that is for sure. All right, I got an audio
and
clip.
And the Bears won.
Yeah, and the Bears won. That's right.
Can you imagine if they lost?
Oh,
thank God they won.
Well, we'll talk about that next week when they lose at L.A. I'm already making a prediction there.
Well, L.A., wait, let me just say this. My only loss yesterday was L.A.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, he was supposed to be the new genius,
right.
McVay?
Right.
Guess what? I heard yesterday all six dopes on the NFL Network, Kurt Warner, Mariucci, Eisen, all of them took the Rams. I said, my head sunk. I go, I'm finished, right? And I was, because I heard they were going to come out after a bye week and a late afternoon game and just whip the hell out of that team. It didn't happen.
It did not happen indeed. Hey, I am trying to find out if Randall Cunningham was on that team, and I can't find that, so I can't confirm that. But
Well, let me check.
Oh, yeah, he was. He was. Randall Cunningham was on 1987, and Golic, let me make sure of this. The hell has the roster?
Just look at Philadelphia. Just look at Golic at Philadelphia.
Yeah.
On his pit.
So,
Beyond there?
Mike
Golic,
yes.
Every time you start looking for stuff, you screw yourself up.
No, I got it. Mike Golic and Randall Cunningham did indeed play together. So, there you go.
Now, maybe Mike brought him up when I was flipping around, but I heard the conversation. That's like saying a running back's one of a kind and you played with Gale Sayers.
Yeah.
I don't understand it.
Yeah, I hear you.
That's like saying this guy's changed the whole game the way he runs over tacklers and you played with Walter Payton.
Yep.
And forgot all about him. Right. So I just thought that was weird. Maybe, because they didn't win. I mean, you know, and by the way, I don't think Randall Cunningham, they're predicting this kid's going to be a Hall of Famer. Randall Cunningham's not in the NFL Hall of Fame. The nonsense has got to stop. Let the kid play more than 3-4 years before you anoint him an all-time great. It's unfair to the guys like Drew Brees, Joe Montana, Tom Brady. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, it's just let the kid get himself wet. Everybody goes with the hottest flavor, okay? But just like a lot of flavors, they go out of style. Let's keep this kid in style, but don't rush him.
I'm with you. I am with you. All right, the Bears' next opponent next week is the Los Angeles Rams. They are now 5-4. They have lost 4 of their last 6 games, and the reason why is because their offense has been pathetic. After yesterday's game, their quarterback, Jared Goff, faced the media, and he was asked about their losing ways. This is what he said.
We got to win a game one at a time. That's where we're at. I don't think we're looking at standings or, you know, how many do we need to win. We can't. We need to win one at a time. And this week it's the Bears, and we need to take care of business.
Sounds really inspiring, huh?
Wow. You know, I just think that they're in shock out there.
Yes, they are.
They're trying to sell football in L.A. You got one team that's talking about leaving and playing in London or other places, even though they're saying they're staying there. And then you got another team where there were high expectations, just like with the Bears. But I think what's happening is with the guys like McVay and Nagy, are they adjusting? The quarterback of the Rams, Buffen, looked horrible yesterday. You're seeing these guys. I'm seeing other guys. The running quarterback, the elusive quarterback, seems to be the one that's in vogue right now with not only Lamar Jackson, Kyler Murray played good yesterday.
Right.
I mean, it seems to me we got the only quarterback that can run that doesn't want to run.
I know. So, kills me. Yes, absolutely. And the Bears have a huge, huge challenge next week, this offensive line, where they now have made some changes in the middle because they've got to stop Aaron Donald. They did so last year in that game at Soldier Field when the Bears beat the Rams. But there are bigger problems also with this Rams team is that I'm starting to sense that their defense, just like the Chicago Bears defense, is losing faith in their offense. And listen to Aaron Donald talk about the problems with the offense right after the game when the offense just had a terrible game.
I trust the offense. I trust Coach McVay that, you know, eventually things are going to get going. It just wasn't a day for us, so. You know, there was times where just our offense played great and we ain't play our best game. So as a defense, we got to try to do a little bit more if we can. So it's a team game. So you don't point fingers at nobody. You know, we lost as a team today. So
as a defense, we got to do more if we can. In other words, we're already doing as much as we can possibly do. Can you guys do your share?
Exactly. I mean, you know, that's. You know what's the underrated thing? The divisions in the locker rooms.
Yeah,
you know,
very
if the
true.
Bears didn't win yesterday, do you think there would have been a division in the locker room?
Oh, yes. Yes.
Do you think there might still be one now?
I think that there is a growing division. We have gotten reports, unconfirmed reports, that Allen Robinson is not real happy with Mitchell Trubisky's performance. And he will, in front of the media, he'll say the nice things about him and so forth, but he is on the sideline. He's getting in Mitch's face. He's telling him this. He's telling him that and so forth. And so there could possibly be some dissension. And then you know that the defense, guys like Khalil Mack are saying, you're making me look bad out there because I'm out there so often. So that is an issue, Mike.
Well, you know, I saw that kid Burrow play for LSU the other day.
Yeah, awesome,
huh? Somebody, some Bear fan said, you know what, man, how can we get a hold of him? I go, we'd probably be in position and trade up for somebody else.
Yeah.
Well, we probably wouldn't take him.
I mean,
if history's to suggest that if the best quarterback's available, we don't take him, it's the Bears.
Yep.
It's the Bears. And he's a terrific quarterback. It was crazy how he, when you beat Alabama like Watson did, mm-hmm. or like Burrow did,
yes.
that's a quarterback that you have to look at because you're beating the, basically the pro team of college football.
Yep.
When you beat them.
Yep.
That's what you're doing. I mean, that's what you're doing. Not. I mean, people thought he'd give them a game. I'm sure people thought they might win. But you know what? People have thought LSU was going to win every time they played Alabama, and they were 0 for their last 8 against them. So this kid's special.
Yep. I am totally, totally with you. And the other thing is that, in my opinion, there's a slew of promising quarterbacks coming out in this upcoming draft that even in the second round where the Bears have 2 picks, they don't have a first rounder this year, they might be able to find somebody like a Jalen Hurts or one of these other quarterbacks that could fall to the second round. Either way, Ryan Pace has got to invest in a young developmental quarterback. Because it's unlikely they're going to get into the first round and find a Joe Burrow who could probably come in and be an automatic impact player.
Yeah, they can't get them. They gave away their draft pick, man.
Yeah, well, that's a whole other story for a whole other show.
And how about the Raiders going to get a good draft pick from the Bears maybe this year?
Yeah, they will. They're going to get probably a top 10
pick. And everybody said we took them for a ride because we were going to contend.
Yeah.
You know, after we did the Mac thing, they weren't going to get a good draft pick. I mean, he looks like a genius now, and the way they're playing, my God.
Mike,
I mean, it's unbelievable. You talk about a guy that demands respect, it's got to be John Gruden. And I'm not, like you said last week, I'm not the biggest fan either. But don't tell me those players don't listen to him, because, my God, he's turning that team around quick.
Mike, one of the NFL's leading rushers is the Oakland Raiders running back Josh Jacobs, who was acquired with the draft pick that we sent over to the Raiders for Khalil Mack.
Right. There's no doubt, and that's how teams get healthy, through shrewd moves.
That's right.
And when they get a good player, they don't get rid of them.
Yeah.
They keep them, and they nurture them. They get head coaches that to fit the players. Mm. Not a head coach that says, you're not my type of player, which the Bears always get. Greg Olsen, you're gone. Jordan Howard, you're not my type of player. You're gone. You know, we've seen it time and time again, and I think the coach's job is to try to make his system work, which it did last year, mm-hmm. without losing personnel. And they lost personnel. They gave up personnel, and now they're paying the price.
All right, we're going to conclude with this story regarding the Chiefs and Titans. The Titans with a huge upset of the Kansas City Chiefs, and it was a 35-32 final score. But the big news for me, anyway, was Taylor Lewan. He is the offensive lineman of the Titans, and he has been called. Yesterday he was called for three penalties, and he's now among the most penalized players in the NFL. This is what he said as soon as the media went over to his locker room.
Before we even start this whole thing, my penalties are a problem. I am 100% an issue with that. It's not intentional. I do not mean to do it. My intentions are good. I'm just trying to finish. And it's killing the team. And I know that. You guys need to know that. No one needs to call me out or anything because I got it, boys. I am completely screwing the team. It's horrible. I cannot get penalties. I'm sorry. There's no need to ask about it because I know I'm an absolute liability when it comes to penalties.
Mike, that is priceless in my opinion. He just told everybody, hey,
all right. He could play for me any day.
There you go.
He could play for me any day because he's accountable. You know how I have my accountability Tuesday?
Yes.
You know what? He just did the thing that you should do. Mm-hmm. Instead of hemming and hawing and saying, you know, you did this, you just say, this wasn't a good week for me, or this wasn't a good day at work for me. It's my fault. I'm sorry production at the assembly line wasn't good. My right hand wasn't working while I was pushing the sprockets. It's all on me, folks. You get all, then you take accountability, and they lay off you.
You got that.
They really do. And I think that, I liked it. I heard it this morning.
Right.
And I said, that's a stand-up guy. That's a stand-up guy that knows he's screwing up. Yeah, I saw a guy the other day cross me a game with a pass interference. And when I was a coach for 6 years at Notre Dame, we used to get all over the kids that would screw up and point at themselves. This is a thing the younger kids do now. My bad. And point at themselves.
Right.
And we used to say, we know it was you. We don't need to be told you screwed up. Okay?
I love it.
Don't point at yourself. Okay? Because we acknowledge that it was you. But it's no big deal. Move on. See, in other words, okay, I made a mistake. But a lot of times now, it's a little mistake, and they still blame themselves, and they can get down in the dumps. If you get called enough for something like Lewan was,
right,
and you keep saying my bad, that's when you got to put the kibosh on it.
Well, he's got 9 penalties now, and so he's moved into the 4th on most penalized players in the NFL. Those three.
You know, that's sort of cool in a way. We used to love the guy that had the most penalty minutes in fighting.
Oh,
in hockey.
Yes.
Hey, how about Probert? Yeah, he's going to break the record for penalties and for being in the penalty box. He's awesome.
That's right.
But this is different because it costs your team. You do cost yourself a player on the ice, but this costs your team. In the NFL, I found out one thing. Man, if you gain 5 yards, it's supposed to be 2nd and 5, and there's a holding call, and it's 1st and 20. For the most part, you're screwed.
There you go.
For the most part, you're screwed.
You are absolutely right about that. Mike, tell our listeners where they can go for great betting news.
I'm going to tell you something right now. We got NBA up tonight. We got NFL tonight. The place to go, ladies and gentlemen, is... it really is, when you stop and think about it, the site of champions. And when you say, well, Mike, well, what makes it the site of champions? Well, you know, you look at the tote board. Now, most services, unlike VegasScoresAndOdds.com or at VSAO, we need more followers, folks. We're getting up towards 700 at VSAO Sports. What happens is that we're one of the few that has a scoreboard. In other words, if you want to see if Mike North is telling the truth, then you go to VegasScoresAndOdds.com and you see, for instance, that I'm 14-10 the last 7 days in all sports. I'm 6-2 in the NFL for first place. You also see guys like Dennis Macklin, who's 53-25 the last 30 days in all sports. You see guys like Bryce Bell, who's 3-0 in college football over the last 30 days. So you see all these things. And so when you hear people go, you see it all the time. And I'm not doubting them. But when you say, hey, we went 8-1, and they got check marks, but they didn't tell you what their picks were before,
yep,
and they're not part of the service, you got to go off their word, which is fine. 75-80% of them are usually right on. But we have a scoreboard at Vegas Scores and Odds, which I think is important. Also, for the free line, 1-866-504-2201. 1-866-504-2201. Wednesday, we got a show at 3 o'clock. By the way, follow Aldo at Aldo Gandia. Follow me at North to North, N-O-R-T-H, number 2, N-O-R-T-H. Also, Bears Bar Room, at Bears Bar Room, right there. We're getting close to 10,000. We're building the site. There's about, how many shows we got on now, Aldo?
We've got 9 running, and we'll soon have a 10th.
Yeah, I mean, you know, really, the next... This is, the podcast version of NBC, okay?
That's right.
Okay? The podcast version of PBS, only with an edge. That's all I'm going to tell you. So check it out. Check all our stuff out. And once again, VegasScoresAndOdds.com. We've got individual packages. We got weekly packages and monthly packages. Aldo, back to you.
I am going to leave everybody with Zach Sullivan's thoughts in the chat room. He says, I wish I could have just told my old man my bad instead of getting my ass beat when I screwed up.
My same thing happened to me. If I would have gone to my old man, hey, look, my bad. My old man would have gone, you getting smart with me?
Exactly.
I'm telling you, you didn't say nothing. You didn't say nothing. If you screwed up, you hope nobody saw it. And if you screwed up and they saw it, you would just put your head down and try to do better the next time. Hey, Aldo, it's been a great time, guys. Love the bar room. We're going to have 10 shows soon. The hardest working producer in show business. Forget about David O. Selznick. Forget about John Lucas. Forget about Spielberg. It's Aldo Gandia.
See you Wednesday.
All right, buddy.
All right.
Way to go.
That was awesome.
Oh.